Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 96, you consumer of fine quality entertainment, you. A couple of quick announcements. I will be performing in D.C. Well, Arlington, really, at the Arlington Draft House. I'm going back there June 17th and 18th. And also, I want to remind you about our show at Comic-Con, July 23rd, Saturday night at 8 p.m. That's going to be a huge show. We're trying to line up some super awesome guests. So get your tickets before they're gone. For everything, over at Nerdist.com. Now I'm going to shut up. See, I told you these announcements would be quick. It's the Nerdist Podcast number 96. Another hostful episode.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
All right, we're recording.
Oh, wow, this is loud. For me, in my ears, not for everyone.
You could turn it down.
I did. Took care of it, Jonah, thanks.
Okay, Jonah, why are you so late?
Yeah, seriously.
I am late because I didn't expect an accident on the 5 coming back up from Disneyland.
Always got to anticipate accidents on the 5.
I just anticipate that the 5 sucks.
I have literally only twice ever on the 5 have I not seen an accident. And that's, yeah. I mean, I count both ways, counts as one time for me, going down to Anaheim and back.
Okay, yeah.
Only 3 times away and not hit an accident.
Hey, guys, I haven't had an accident in a while. Let's go on the 5.
Yeah. Breeze down it on the way down, but yeah, on the way back up.
All right, you were coming back from Disneyland. That's a pretty good excuse.
It was a great fucking time.
Were you there the whole weekend?
No, we went yesterday afternoon, checked into the Grand Californian Hotel, which is an amazing hotel.
Is it nice?
Oh, they made it in the craftsman style, in the arts and crafts style.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that hotel. I've always wanted to stay there.
It's great. So many great details. The lobby is insane. And then they're... it's just like, you know, nice pool. We didn't go to the pools or anything with that. I don't want to take my shirt off in public, but they were nice to look at. And it was like there's a back entrance right into the California Adventure, which they're really turning into a great park.
Yeah, once that Cars thing is done and the whole front is mural, it's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, and they keep on.
They got rid of Mulholland Madness, didn't they? Did they change it?
Mulholland Madness. It's where you just, those guys in suits just throw you off a little mountain, right, into some padding.
Yep. Oh, they added padding?
Yeah.
I got really hurt.
But it was great. We were there. We were walking out to go to the park, and we run into Brendan Small from Metalocalypse.
What was Brendan doing?
He was just there with a lady friend, and I literally just walked out of a door and saw him. I was like, "What the shit!" Like it was such a weird thing to see him.
It's weird to run into Brendan.
Yeah,
that is kind of cool. I thought it was a California. It'd be funny if part of California Adventure is they get your friends to run into you.
Like, yeah,
this
yeah,
happens
exactly.
When you live in the same town.
Oh, it really, really feels like we're in California.
When were you at Disneyland last?
I was at Disneyland last on Thursday.
Right.
I just went because it was like one of the last days before my annual pass. Like they go on blackout for like most of June.
Yeah,
it's like June, July, and part of August, which are dates that you don't want
to be there anyway. Yeah. Yeah. But I was like, oh, I'll just go. Greta and I went, and we were like, well, let's see what the Star Tours deal is, and that was fun.
And was that opening day?
That was not opening day.
Friday was opening day.
So you got in.
I got in
thanks
to a podcast listener who happens to work at Disneyland and works on the ride. I don't want to mention names because I don't know if that was cool to do, but her supervisor said it was okay.
You're part of the media.
Yeah. I walked up and I said, is it, I said to a gentleman working there, I was like, so what's the deal with this thing? It opens up, when, tomorrow? He's like, yeah. I was like, what's going on right now? Media? He's like, yeah. I was like, any way I can get in? He's like, no. And then I hear a girl go, Matt Mira. And I go, Myra.
And out of respect for your own name, you would not take her offer to go in.
And, she was like, oh my, I've been to your podcast. I've seen it live twice. She had been to the Black Dynamite one and the, I forget which other one, but there's probably an awesome one too. And I asked her, I was like, so what's going on? She's like, it's a media. And I was like, podcast count? And she's like, let me go see. And she goes and talks to the supervisor. Supervisor gives the nod. She walks over and she goes, I'm going to walk you in.
The supervisor said no, so she shot him.
Yeah.
No, she walked
so
us in.
So you got in.
She walked us in, and like no one's in there. We go through the queue, and she explains what's different to us, points out the new HD screen, tells us the storyline and everything.
The old pilot is down getting fixed.
The old pilot's down there getting fixed.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I'm going through some minor difficulties right now.
And and it's cool because the ride, apparently George Lucas loves prequels. It's a prequel to the original ride.
Really?
Yeah, it takes place between... The original Star Tours took place after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But the this one takes place between episode 3 and 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's the Wookiee planet still.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I saw.
I didn't see the Wookiee. That's actually the one planet I didn't see was the Wookiee planet.
Okay, yeah. There's lots of different planets that you can go through now. And they change it up every time. And there's different holograms that come and talk to you.
Do you get a choice or it's just whatever?
No, it's just random. Whatever. And there's 54 combinations.
Jesus.
Yeah. And, I heard a lady talking about it. She's like, I had Leia for my first two, but then there were, and then I just, that's all I heard.
Did you feel sick on it? You know, the last several
times? The third time. I rode it 3 times in a row. The doors would open. She said, hey, you want to go again? I was like, sure, because no one was on it.
Yeah.
So we rode 3 times in a row, and that was it. If I had ridden a fourth time, I would have vomited.
Yeah, I felt sick pretty much right away. But all 3D does that to me no matter what.
You know you're a nerd when a lady says to you, do you want to go again? And she's talking about Star Tours.
Story of my
life,
Chris.
You might be a nerd.
Yeah, I could never, you know... It never bothered me, and then only the last few years, whenever I would get on Star Tours, I would feel like, holy shit. And then someone said, well, it's off alignment.
Yeah, I said that to you.
But if you got sick on this Star Tours,
I sat off to the side, that might have been it. But, you know, it was also a cheat day, so I was eating a bunch of crap you know, a lot of motion stuff. Because we were at California Adventure beforehand going on a bunch of, you know,
it was explained to me. I said to her, I said, it felt like it was off kilter the last few years. And she's like, yeah, when they knew they were refurbishing it, kind of just
let it go.
Like, whatever.
But yeah, it was cool. C-3PO is the pilot now.
Did they change spaceport?
Yeah, the spaceport changed.
It did. And Deanna was very upset by this. They changed all the posters in the exit hall.
They did.
All those cool old Star Tours posters.
Oh, like Visit Hoth. And
Yeah. Which were awesome.
But did you see Leia?
Yes, I saw Leia.
That was rad because it's young Carrie Fisher.
Saying new things. But did you also notice that the lady speaking before you get on sounded very much like current Carrie Fisher?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't Carrie Fisher.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, it sounded because,
Welcome to Star Tours. Hello. And then I divorced again.
I've lost 30 pounds on Jenny Craig.
I have another postcard from the edge.
Gulp, gulp, gulp. Pill.
But yeah, we were lucky enough to get Admiral Akbar, Yoda, and Leia.
It's a trap.
That was, did I ever tell you that one of the best responses? There was someone's email got fished, and so there was a bunch of people copied. A bunch of like friends copied on this guy's email that was obviously spam bot. And the first response was from Asterios Kokonos, who's a very funny comic, that just responded with a picture of General Akbar. Admiral Akbar, with just a picture that, it's saying it's a trap.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I was like, that's simple, but it's a very nice.
That's a good way to play that meme.
Yeah, definitely.
Play that meme.
Play that meme.
Because it was like a check this link out. Kind of thing. It's good. It's a good ride. But Captain EO is back, and I went on Captain EO.
Did you do that? I haven't done that since it's been back, obviously. Yeah, since
it's great. I mean, it's a good song, and it's of its time, clearly.
Yeah.
Hey, Jonah.
You're just another part of me.
Did you see Doug Benson in it?
I did not see Doug Benson in it. And I forgot completely that Anjelica Houston was in it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Completely forgot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about
it. And it was empty. Completely. I mean, it was a pretty slow day at Disneyland. It was nice.
It probably was still less empty than Honey, I Blew Shrunk the Audience. I'm sure it was less empty than that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. I was in San Diego.
San Diego of the North.
I was in Seattle, the San Diego of... exactly, the San Diego of the North.
Largest city in the country before you hit another country.
It kind of is, though, because like year-round, they have the same weather, just shittier.
But San Diego's mainly conservative, and Seattle's pretty liberal. Seattle was awesome. The show was great. People have finally started showing up in costumes. There were a bunch of
Tenth
Doctor, 11th Doctor, as a woman dressed up like a TARDIS, another guy dressed up like Flash. There was a barbarian.
Wow.
It was really cool.
There was a barbarian.
Except the town was a fucking snarl because U2 was in town. And
So there's a bunch of people dressed up like Spider-Man?
Yep, that's right. For turn off the dark or show me the light or darkened chicken breast or whatever.
Bad idea jeans.
bad idea jeans. I haven't thought about that sketch in years.
You know, I figured
when am I going to be in Haiti? I'm going to use a condom. When am I going to be in Haiti again?
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the other one, which is it's like, you know, even though the affair is over and we're back together, I think I'm going to tell. Wait, no, even though everything's okay and it's completely over, I'm going to tell my wife about the affair.
Bad idea, jeans.
Yeah. Now let's go play these guys.
60,000 people at the U2 concert.
Oh,
wow.
60,000 people.
That's
at
a
which
lot.
Venue? The Seahawks?
Must have been
the stadium.
Like, where else would
I feel like just downtown
people.
Seattle?
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know where it was. It was at whatever their big stadium is.
Yeah,
which is probably some type of sporting arena.
Yeah, that's where the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. I mean, those guys, like 35 years. Those guys have been filling giant.
But you gotta feel good about the fact that there probably wasn't a lot of crossover audience.
You know, I still feel like, you know, what's interesting is at one of my shows, 100 people would make a giant difference.
Sure.
You know, like in 400 or 500 seat venues, but to 60,000 people. And then I wondered if it ever ends. Like I wonder if the performer anxiety thing ever ends. Like if U2 is like, oh, only 58,000 people showed up, we didn't get 60. You know what I mean?
Well, that
that still happens.
I was saying to you before the podcast that today is like the anniversary of my first Dave Matthews concert, which was at Foxborough Stadium. It was the first stadium they played, and there were 60,000 people there.
Wow. Well, you also had Beck and Ben Folds on the
Beck
lineup.
And Ben Folds 5 were opening for Dave Matthews.
Right?
Don't say ooh. Why would you say that?
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things sucks.
which one?
I think we all know the answer to that, man.
I'd just like you to answer it for the record.
Sure.
Are you making a record? That's adorable.
Yeah.
Here's a Dave Matthews record.
I'm referring to, of course, of...
Turn this up so I can hear you.
Dave Matthews Band.
Why would you say that?
Because if I were to be
the
given...
scruff on the back of Matt's neck just stood up.
It's one of those weird things that I feel like I'm tired of apologizing for liking the Dave Matthews Band.
You should
whatever.
Ever apologize for anything you like.
I like it. And it's, you
even
know,
when
yeah.
it's...
Yeah, even once the day.
Totally kidding. Listen, hey, Dave's can I great. Say something? Can I say something?
Yeah,
I actually do like some of the DMB songs.
Well, I'm sure you know everybody's got some songs.
It's just,
like.
It's just fun. I just tease you about it because you like it so much.
I do. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. A part of it's like I think the age that I found it. You know, like I was 10 years old when I got their first record. So
that's cute. I guess I still like some of the same things I liked when I was 10. Like video games?
Yeah, I guess so.
I almost tweeted today that if you see somebody driving down the street with in an open top Jeep with Dave Matthews blaring and a Red Sox hat, it's not 1994. It's just me.
No, I appreciate your adorable adoration of the Dave Matthews Band.
But you shouldn't feel guilty. I mean, like I know you just said you came to a place where you don't feel guilty.
But
guilty pleasure, that's always a term that's really fucking pissed me off.
Yeah, no, it's not a guilty pleasure. Guilty. No, it's not a guilty pleasure at all. I like
heroin.
I'm how about this? I'm unapologetic for enjoying the
there
Dave
you
Matthews
go.
Band.
Yeah, yeah.
I have this guilty pleasure. I like to choke fuck people. I feel really guilty
what's
about
wrong
it.
With that,
that is that is
literally a guilty pleasure.
Wait, what's wrong with that? I don't. That's not cool.
Have you ever done it? Scary.
It's scary.
It's the opposite of what your body's trying to do.
I did it to David Carradine, then I left the room.
That was the craziest hangover 2 trip you ever had.
Was that in a...
I don't know. Isn't that what the number is?
I only just saw the first hangover like 3 days ago.
Oh, did that live up to none of the hype?
I was enjoyable.
No,
like,
it's
yeah,
a very
it
funny
was.
Movie.
Like, it was I enjoyed it. It was fun. I mean, it's fun to... Like, I love seeing Ken Jeong and Helms.
And his penis.
And I loved watching Zach and trying to figure out like which stuff that were just Zachisms that he probably improvised when they were shooting, and
how much he hated it being there at certain times.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed
it. I'm looking forward. I've heard good things about it. Everyone says it's kind of, you know, they kind of make fun of a sequel and are like the same thing as a sequel.
Already making a deal for the third one.
That's crazy.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Hangover 3, The Naked Mile.
And it's just Eugene Levy.
Yeah. Hey, I think I drank too much last night. Boy, my head hurts.
You're Zach Galifianakis' brother? I wish I knew Zach's character. Because that's what they did in the later American Pie movies, like Stifler's brother,
right?
Keith, you're Alan's brother.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, X-Men First Class has been fucking killing it. Apparently, everyone loves it. Blair Butler loves it, so you know it's.
And I love Blair Butler, so yeah. I'm excited about that. I definitely want
to. It looks so good.
So excited to see it.
So good.
It looks like it's of all the superhero movies, like it's just like it's fucking Matthew Vaughn, man. That it's just so stylized, and it finally. I'm not gonna name any names, but I've just seen. Well, you know, Captain America is clearly stylized; it's a period piece. But other comic movies that I've seen come out just sort of look like
America's a period.
Oh, these are. It is a period piece.
I know. It's just funny to say that.
It's all about Captain America's first period, which is a weird turn. I don't know why they let Nora Ephron direct.
Once he took that Captain drug America. That made him super, it also gave him a menstrual cycle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just the one. It's one of the superheroes. Movies of this summer, where I'm like, oh, this guy understands the genre.
Isn't this a weird world we live in, where you're like, it's one of the superhero movies this summer that I'm excited about?
I mean,
about.
Listen, there's always
so
been.
Many.
Listen, there's no, I mean, like,
the, there's not always.
If
been.
You need to question whether or not nerd culture has taken over, you need look no further than the fact that our soap operas now have vampires and werewolves in them.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are still convinced. A lot of executives are still convinced that it's not the case.
Which is so funny to
me. They're old. They're very old.
You're talking about like old white guy jocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Who don't understand that there are still a lot of people. What Jonah's referring to is that there are still people in this, like executives who work at networks in this business who you go in and you say, look, we are deep into nerd culture ruling. You know, like anything that's not American Idol and that's not the Kardashians is basically nerd culture.
Yeah.
And video games are outselling movies, and you need to be programming to nerds, and then they're just like, yeah, it sounds too niche.
My roommate works for a studio around here, a very well-known studio, that has a giant booth at Comic-Con. Like, they buy out a whole section of the floor, and they divvy it up to the smaller, you know, parts of their company. And he goes to the marketing guy and says, okay, what are we doing for Comic-Con this year? And the guy's like, I don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
It is weird. It's not so much.
What the fuck?
And I don't think it is necessarily geek culture or nerd culture that's taking over. I think it's right now at a point where it's cherry picked aspects of nerd culture are starting to permeate.
I don't know. Just all the things. I mean, because I'm older than you, so what I've seen is that all the things that nerds embraced when I was growing up that were not moneymakers, that people were like, no, it's too niche to do that, are now like huge properties. So I guess that's what I mean by that is that
it's easier to find the audience for it too, though.
I mean, well,
they might not watch it, but they'll download it.
I mean, you know, you have to know that even pitching a nerd any kind of show in the nerd sphere 10 years ago would never have gotten made. Like they would have said it's too niche.
Three years ago when I was at Current TV, I was trying really hard to even just get a segment on their show Infomania just about nerd culture. And it was something I did called Fanboy Focus, and it was very hard to do. They even made me when I was performing it and doing the wraparounds for all the jokes and everything like that. They were just like, you know, maybe you should play it more like a nerdy, awkward guy. I said, I don't need to do that. I mean, it's the information, it's the jokes that are, you know, that's going to be funny.
So they wanted you to, be like a stereotypical,
I'm a nerd.
They wanted me to be like, nervous. And I was like, well, that's a fucking character. And that's not, what's the, you know,
we want you to step and fetch it. Basically.
The picture of you in Indiana on Buzz Lightyear was so adorable.
I was so intense. That was a real look. Nerdy. I was not posing.
Oh, no. I'm always with the gun up.
I realized midway through. That Buzz Lightyear fucking ride is incredible.
It's great.
Only lost
it's so
once.
Good. I'd never been on it before. It's so good.
You haven't been on it before?
No.
Oh, really?
No, no.
They should
never.
Add that aspect. It's a small world. It would be so fun to just light up a bunch of kids.
I've literally only lost once.
It's a pew. That's what it needs. It's a small world needs lasers.
Any ride.
They need anything. It's a small world needs something.
Oh, you know what they have right now? It's only been open. Did you check out the Mary Blair exhibit right when you walked in?
Yeah, I looked at that. That was great. Cool.
Some original Mary Blair concept art.
She was the color director like for a lot of the older like Alice in Wonderland and Snow White.
Stylistically, she's one of the greatest artists.
The Haunted House is closed, isn't it?
No, it's open. It's open.
Is it?
Yeah. I think they're doing all that stuff off-site, and then they're just going to be dropping it in.
You don't think
it's going to take a while?
I'm worried about it.
Have you seen any of those online videos?
Did you see it?
They look awesome. It's all these guys that are
done. At the Magic Kingdom in Disney World, it's done.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they've refurbed it.
What are we waiting for, guys? Let's go to Orlando.
That's what I'm telling you.
Nerdist guys go on a trip.
Look, it's just us pointing stills.
We'll stay at the Grand Floridian.
I almost broke into my Elvis Costello a little bit.
Nerdist guys go on a trip.
I'm looking forward to it, though. I think it's going to be good. I think it's guys just like, you know, I don't mind the additions of Captain Jack Sparrow to...
I don't care.
I don't care about that either.
I was kind of like, eh.
Whatever.
That's fine.
It was just so like slapped on top. Come on, boys. Or whatever.
But like it gives it a thing now, like a lot of other, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it does
like
give
the
it
story
a through
gives
line.
That
yeah,
that
yeah.
storybook thing. Oh, I went on the Little Mermaid ride too.
Oh, how was that? I didn't get to go.
It's old school. It's like the old storybook rides.
It's like a dark ride, yeah.
You're in a shell and you're underwater and like, you know, it has the story, but everything's very, you know, there's some really Ursula is the craziest
animatronic
thing I've ever seen in my life. The fingers like meticulated as she was speaking. It was scary.
It's like that the Great Movie Ride in Disney Studios, formerly Disney MGM Studios in Florida. Wicked Witch of the West is like crazy animatronic, realistic human looking, and it's terrifying.
I believe that's what they're trying to do to California Adventure, making it more like MGM.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
They should.
That's pretty awesome. I gotta go back. I haven't been to the kingdom in ages.
You should.
But I just have these great memories when
tweet up
when Will and I used to go when we were teenagers and it was still Disneyland still felt jet age where it still had that late 60s feel to it.
But now it's just nostalgic. For me, it's just nostalgic.
I know, but I fucking like going through People Mover and going through the I mean, like it was shitty. They were just shitty projections, but I loved it. And I fucking loved. I loved just how like. 60s and non-branded everything felt, and like everything's so branded
they
now.
They de-branded Star Tours.
Yeah,
they de-branded Star Tours. It's not FedEx Star Tours or Energizer Duracell or whatever it was. They took it out.
I would think they've actually gotten rid of a lot of that stuff.
I think it's
like a lot of that stuff's not branded anymore. And it was from the beginning in the 50s. It was branded like the Coca-Cola fucking moon ride.
They called it the Coca-Cola fucking moon ride. They were a lot less.
They might have left out one of the words.
Puritanical than I
probably
seem
cola.
To.
But yeah.
Now I think they got a lot of good guys working on it now. It's almost one of those things.
There's probably a lot of people that are, you know, around my age or in between your age and my age that remember what it was like before and are like, we gotta fucking make it cool.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know who's the creative director of all of Disney parks is Lasseter, John Lasseter.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that makes. Oh, you know what? I didn't get to go on Toy Story Midway ride.
Awesome.
It's great.
You go
it looked
time.
Like a lot of fun, but the line was huge because it just opened up. Yeah. But it's like, you know, Deanna had never been to California Adventure, and she's like, "This is great. This
I
is
love
a
the
great
roller
park.
Coaster.
The roller coaster is great." And there's
the Tower of Terror,
of course, is great.
I left my cell phone in my front pocket, and the fucking as soon as the ride dropped, the cell phone went up in the air. My iPhone went up in the air, and then when it came back up, it slammed into the ground. And then I just stepped on it and left it there the whole time. I was just stepping on the run.
Cell Tower of Terror.
The Cell Tower of Terror.
That's what AT&T has. Take that, AT&T.
Play that nervous nerdy character. You know when I finally started watching this week, are we going to make another Disneyland thing? Because I was about to take a hard right turn.
Oh no, it's fine. But I went to the Magic Shop just because you know it's the first time since I had read Born
Steve
Standing
Martin.
Up.
Yep.
And I was looking around, and then the kid who was there had the nerd glasses on and was just what a thematic trick. Was like playing a really nerdy awkward character.
Yeah.
And after we left, he did the rope trick, you know, the cut rope trick.
Yeah.
And then after we walked out, Dan was like, "Oh, he did it slow enough, so now I know how to do that trick exactly." Don't play awkward and nerdy and not being able to do magic right until you can really do magic right and then pull
Jonah,
that
maybe
off.
Maybe he had Asperger's.
Mm-hmm. 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 I hope he did. I hope he did.
Whoa,
I feel
whoa,
even
whoa.
Better.
No,
I feel
no.
even better. Having,
Jonah!
There's one thing I tweeted that made a lot of people angry. That was the one hiring policy for Disneyland employees seems to be not attractive.
That's mean.
I don't
this
like
this one
that.
Guy looked like a giant bipedal dog and another guy was a huge mouse. Like, that's what you're referring to.
I'm just like, you know, it's just like the arc light where it's like, yeah, no one good looking here.
I saw these girls.
I was an employee.
I can't get on board any of that.
I'm not one to judge. I'm not one to judge, but like, you know, it's just,
I can't get on board.
I saw these two ladies working security exactly the same shape, and I said to Greta, they must have the same trainer.
Oompa and Loompa.
I think
this is a shoulder thing I have going.
Did you mean to say Tweedledee and Tweedledum?
That's what I did need. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
It's
sorry.
Funny. It's funny that I still got the subtext.
Yeah,
of,
exactly.
Of your insult.
All of our goodwill towards like Disney employees is now gone. We've just wasted it.
No.
Jonah did. I didn't. I think everyone there is awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
No one can see this, but these guys in the room with me are giving me thumbs up and A-OK signs.
We are definitely not. No. I made an A-OK sign, and then I'm entering it from the backside with my finger, like you're fucking this in the ass. So I loved his. When I was like 18, I dated a girl who worked at Disneyland, and she was super cute for me. Super cute.
which I prefer the ladies at the Indiana Jones. It's my favorite costume. I find that the most attractive: a khaki skirt and a nice white shirt.
Mm. Oh, it's
weird, right?
It's nice. Khaki skirt.
By the way, that video at Indiana Jones with Jonathan Rhys Davies.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
Fucking funny.
I like that a lot.
You are turning and then you are turning and spinning again. Like that whole video is really well done.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's better than the Tower of Terror needs to update that video of the story of what happened.
Yeah.
That, you know,
especially if you watch the actors.
So when we go back to Disneyland, remember Chris Hardwick said that I think people that work there are attractive and I should get to cut lines. And Jonah was the one who took a dump on Disney parks.
Right. I love it. I was talking about how much
I'm
I liked it. One
bystander.
Thing, though. No, the characters are good looking. Anyway, Chris, what were we going to say before?
I was going to say I finally bought the series and I started watching Portlandia this weekend.
Oh, put a burn on it.
God damn it. Anyone who's listening to this internet program that is not watching Portlandia, you are missing one of the best. Fred Armisen and Care, they're so goddamn funny.
Yeah.
Referring to Portland as a place that young people go to retire. The jokes are, it's so well done.
It's very well done. I mean, good show.
What's so great about it is he has totally captured this kind of like Whole Foods zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And they do such a great job. Portlandia is so good. I bought the series on iTunes. I don't have a stake in the show. I'm just telling you that you people should watch it.
It's good. Funny. And although there is, you know, like hipster humor in it, there is also just, you know, good sketches throughout every episode. Like the sketch where they go to Kumail, who works at the cell phone stand.
I haven't seen his episode yet.
Oh, it's great. It's a great scene. It's a great fucking scene.
It is
scene.
Very funny.
But yeah, it's a great fucking hybrid between a story of two friends and also just this crazy town, which is basically just a sketch, just tons of sketches. It's great.
Such a great show, Portlandia. Yeah.
Good editing by DJ Doug Pan on there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's good.
Well done. Hey, do you want to take, you know, here's a Quement here that I thought was, that came to the Quement's inbox.
It's a Quement. I can't even remember the fucking song.
Quement.
It's a tough song to remember, what with the three lines of lyrics and all.
Yeah.
It's a comment.
It's a Quement.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a Quement. You wrote it.
I did. I've said so many things in my life, Chris, that I could care to forget.
Three lines. Also, three words.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's four words.
Oh, sorry. It's a question.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a Quement.
Wait, it's five.
Whoa. It's very complicated.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a Quement. And then the pie line.
Wow.
Guys, so listen. I feel... This one's pretty sexy, so I don't want you to feel like, you know, jealous of the Quement that I got. I'll read it in the accent I assume it was written in.
I'm already jealous.
Hello.
Oh God, you were right.
Oh my gosh.
You're right. That's such a sexy letter. Oh fuck.
Sorry, a little bit of prequement just dripped out. This is from Esther.
Hello, dear. My name is Esther, a nice-looking young girl full of love and fun. I saw your profile today, and it interested me to communicate with you.
Oh.
I am seeking for true love and friendship. I will like to have email-to-email communication with you. Please contact me soon at the above mail address to enable me to tell you more about myself and send my pictures. Oh. I will be waiting to read from you soon. Thank you, Esther. Flower emoticon.
Wow. Oh. In Russia, spam eat you.
P.S. She does not like punctuation.
She is not. She's a cyborg.
Run-on sentence.
Don't talk about my girlfriend like that.
Soviet Russia flower.
Don't talk about my fucking girlfriend like that. She's not a cyborg, Jonah. You just don't know her.
We really made it.
I don't know her either.
We're getting spam now.
So just send that off to me, Matt@Nerdist.com.
Someone should tell that lady that Esther is not considered a hot girl name in the United States.
Not even like ironic granny hot.
Well, that's what
ironic granny hot.
That's
ironic
what lends granny. The authenticity to it.
It does.
Yeah.
Here's one on the Nerdist.com/Quemens from AJ Johnson. Hello, Nerdist.
Hey, AJ.
I will be at your show in Dallas the next Saturday. Thank you for that. And this will be my first time seeing you live. Okay. All right. I just want to say sometimes, more than sometimes, there will be a few jackasses in the audience. I attend a lot of comedy shows, and there's always some dicknose who demands attention.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people heckle everyone from Jim Gaffigan to Eddie Izzard. Please know that you have a lot of nerdy fans in DFW, and we shall be there in costume. Thank you. Ready to laugh and enjoy your jokey jokes. We will be sending you positive vibes and wishing the loudmouths who don't know how to be audience members will eat a bag of dicks. And he signs it. Alonzi. AJ. Yes, there are a lot of... There are people who like attention, but part of it is my fault. I create a dialogue with the audience at my shows. And so that encourages some people who may have been on the fence before to contribute.
That was the TARDIS. Don't worry about it.
Was that the TARDIS calling you?
It's weird that you wouldn't put that on silent.
I had, and then you took so long to get here, I turned it off silent.
Oh!
Boom!
Wait, but that still doesn't make sense.
I know. I was hoping we would just move past the fact that it didn't make sense.
Sorry, I didn't mean to... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Thanks for the slam, but you are still an asshole.
Thanks for the... Oh, you guys, don't troll
each other. I've had that go off at my own show. Like, I fucking am such an asshole.
Isn't it weird how when something goes on, we say it goes off? That's just like opposite town, you guys.
I never thought about it like that.
I always think about it like that, but I've never said it.
This is this next one's from Liz the Canadian.
Oh, I know.
I need your help finding someone from the Seattle show, please. I took a picture of her with Chris, and the email she gave me isn't working. Uh-oh.
Missed connections.
Her first name is... Her first name is Margie or Marcy. Pretty sure Margie, and she was wearing a shirt with Elmo on it.
She smelled of flowers. I like her. Love her. I like her.
Elmo need you to give picture to Liz.
If you could help me out, that would be great. On Twitter, @LizTheCanadian.
Or is it Canadian?
Well, the fantastic time at the show. Definitely worth a trip from Vancouver. Love the podcast.
She came Vancouver's? To Bumbershoot, if I don't remember correctly.
Bumbershoot?
I believe that she did.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm. Maybe I'm the only one that remembers that, but I'm the only one that cares.
I don't talk to the people.
Our Comic-Con show is going to be fun. Oh, my God. We shot the Ministry of Laughs.
I saw your set upstairs at Meltdown. That
yeah, we
nice.
Shot. We shot. Yeah, they built the set upstairs, and they turned it into a really cool office, and then they took it all back, like at the end of Brewster's Millions.
Did you see the thing that Matt Blackwood did?
Gorgeous.
Right. Oh, that thing is insane.
Gorgeous. Like you and Jonah with boxing gloves and me at the bottom.
You should tweet that.
I did. I took a picture of it. I'll put it on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Nerdist. There is a fan art section.
A lot of people have been requesting the Sasquatching.
Yes, I will post those. By the time this goes up, those will have been posted.
Even people like, it's like my AMC buddy was just like, he's like, hey, everyone really wants to see these pictures.
Take it down, American Movie Classics. Yeah. No, we'll put them up. Lindelof's assistant sent them to me with the, they were almost too dirty for me to put on Nerdist.
They were.
I graphic. Agree. So Damon's, Damon's assistant, who's very, very sweet, sent me a version with those areas pixelated, kind of like pubic hair in Japanese porn.
Well, can you do a like a click on it for NSFW NSF dubs?
Why do you need to see cartoon dick so bad?
I just really want.
Is there a reason that you need to?
You can do that. That's like you can just click for not safe for work version.
Yeah. All right. I'll do that for you.
Thank you.
Just so you can see cartoon dicks. So you can finish your orgasms. But I do want to thank Damon's assistant Josie for
April
O'Neil making that happen
on her Tumblr.
April O'Neil. This is such an interesting.
So many tits. I love it.
That should be the name of her blog now. So many tits.
Please, April. Thank you.
So many tits.
Do you ever follow her on? Do you follow her on Twitter?
No.
Every day. Come here, are my tits.
Well, she's an adult filmstress. She's an adult filmstress.
Oh, I'm not knocking you.
I put nerdy things online every day. She puts her tits and vagina online every day. She is working well within her brand.
I really enjoy it.
That's good.
That's branding.
That is branding.
That is very good branding.
Her SEO is probably off the charts.
Would it be so much though to just ask for pictures of like, you know, someone's vagina with just like a little Batman head hanging out, like, hey, it's the Batcave. You know what I mean? Like, use your body as like a Fortress of Solitude or a Batcave.
I'd like to see
the Turtle Sewer.
A original series space shuttle coming out of there, just like in Star Trek, like a shuttle bay.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be a great website of just like nerdy things coming out of vaginas.
.tumblr.com.
That would be such a great site. And you could have like the creature when the Millennium Falcon, when they're on that asteroid, the creature that comes out after them, like coming. I mean, yeah, that would be great.
It's for a different crowd.
He's really, really thinking about it.
Yeah.
So many things I would do if I just didn't give a shit about my career anymore. Right?
My mind's racing.
But I'm not going to do that. Hey, oh my God, I almost forgot the other kind of news this week. That will have surfaced by the time this podcast goes up.
Is it underwater?
I totally opened myself up for that one, man.
Is it underwater?
Fair enough.
Was it underwater?
Wait a minute. Do you work at the magic shop at Disneyland?
Voila. Oh, wait. That was facing the wrong way. You saw the corner the whole time. I really got to stop wearing these fake nerd glasses.
It's the guy who just apology magic.
Yeah.
I know you saw me presented by other hands.
We didn't. Just please finish the bit.
Don't yell at me. I can't work under these conditions.
I just take the red ball and put it under the cup when I move it.
Why are you telling me that?
It's a fake thumb tip. It's from my other hand. It's not even coming off. If it came off, it'd be blood everywhere. Oh, fuck. Oh.
Good times.
They fucking funny.
What is your surface news?
I have, Nerdist has partnered with Geek Chic Daily.
Oh, shit. 8-bit stuff.
They
make the 8-bit tie, right? That was their big thing?
The Geek Chic. I don't know if Geek. No.
I'm thinking something else.
You're thinking of Think Geek.
Think Geek,
which is like a geek retailer.
God, Jonah.
They're not
Geek
in like
Daily
so
is a daily kind of geek news nerd newsletter.
Oh, okay.
That I was getting. It's a few years old. I was getting it before I even met.
Before it was cool.
One of the guys. The guy started Peter. Peter Levin. We became friends last year and just started talking. Like, and I liked what he was doing, and he liked what I was doing, and like his business and mine just sort of seemed to fit together, and. And so we partnered up and he's going to take over the sort of the businessy aspects of Nerdist. All the shit that I hate doing that he's good at and loves doing.
Like signing checks?
I forgot.
Alarming. They all went through.
I sent Matt and Jonah and everyone their checks this week. And I just because I'm so bad at this, I just forgot to sign them. And I get a direct message from Perry, the editor on Nerdist. He was like, hey, can I get your autograph on my check?
Jeez.
I was like, ah, fuck, I forgot.
I'm glad he pays attention to that shit. I didn't.
Yeah, nice and the banks just cashed him anyway.
Whatever.
We'll see what happens.
But anyway, Peter's a good dude, and Geek Chic has an insane board of directors. Like Peter Goober and Jack Sullivan and all these guys who run big things that really get nerd culture and that are super nice to me. And
crazy.
So, it'll be nice. So we'll be able to... hopefully be a more professional organization and develop more cool stuff.
Who knew that being friends with Chris would become part of an organization?
Well, you guys are out. I'm meeting Eugene Levy and Owen Wilson. now because of these new connections that I have.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's really great to be here on the Nerdist podcast. It's a really good time, man.
Hey, Kermit.
It's almost Kermit.
Hi, I'm Owen Wilson.
Wow. Pretty good Kermit.
Yeah, Kermit and Kevin McDonald.
Your Kermit was good and your Ralph was good.
Hey, Kermit, it's Kevin McDonald. Oh, hey, Kevin, how's it going? What do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys, I just came here to write a song.
That's a Seth Rogen.
Shit. I'm not good at any of this stuff. Anyway, so it's good news. Basically, Nerdist Industries has little to no infrastructure before.
Great.
Now there will be a bit of an infrastructure.
A little bit more.
And it's good. It's a good thing for...
Now, get me a pass to Comic-Con.
Shit. All right.
You could have done it.
Also could have gotten a passport, which I haven't done yet.
You know we're going to Montreal in July.
What is that? What's July? That's soon, right?
It's the month that's after the one we're in now.
Yes, and you're going to have to now
Here's
pay
the weird
extra.
Part.
There's it's not weird. It's just dumb, whatever you're about to say.
$207.
I was looking at a fucking email. I was searching through emails the other day from like 2 months ago.
You're such a mean older brother. Sometimes
from 2 months ago.
Dumb.
It's 2 months ago, and he was just like, "Oh, apparently we're gonna be going to Montreal. I guess I'm gonna have to finally get a passport." That was 2 months ago.
Matthew, seriously, that's kind of tirarded.
What was that word?
Derarded.
It's calling you a fucking idiot.
No, I'm not calling you a fucking idiot. It's just that you want to get your... Do you understand that if you don't have your passport, you literally cannot leave this country?
Well, yeah, I get that. But the place that does it next day, you can get a passport next day, right?
You should wait till July 21st.
Here's the problem with the day of passport thing. If you get the day of passport...
It's in a van, and it's a guy named Manny.
And it's insanely expensive.
No, it's the same price. You don't have to pay any more.
What?
You really don't. And I've looked into it because I
spent all that time looking into a day of pass.
And what the problem is, you have to have itinerary so you can get the passport rushed. And then the problem with the rushing of I should have done it a long time ago.
Yeah, but if anyone remembers Karate Kid 2, he was able to get next day passport because he had next day plane ticket.
Right? See, that's what I'm saying. I need a plane ticket.
I don't think they do that. That's before you had to go through security.
It's also $200, which is not something I can just say.
That $200
here's
$200. It gives you a ticket to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
To be cultured by the.
But you're getting paid to work on the Nerdist pilot. We shot all of the Ministry of Laughs stuff, which is going to start rolling out. Oh my God, that's going to start rolling out in like a week and a half.
Really?
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's great.
How many?
June 18th.
How many of those?
We did like 12 40. Weeks worth of interstitials for Ministry of Laughs.
I saw two chairs. Did you have guests?
The same tie?
Well, no. I asked them to the set that I asked them to build. I was like, think of like a layer in the movie Brazil, and that's sort of like future past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they fucking did it. They built this great. And I asked them to. I was like, you know, get pictures of like. Marty Feldman and Nigel Planer and make an 8-bit Union Jack, and they fucking did all of it. It looked so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and they took it all away. I took pictures of it. So I'm like, I'm just going to steal all this idea.
They were incredibly stressed. I was trying to get a bunch of props for Web Soup and all those
Okay,
guys.
Jonah, you do a good job on Web Soup. Is that what you were looking for?
No.
Not that kind of props?
No. I was talking to the art department, and they were just like, yeah, you already got this other stuff. We got to take over to Meltdown for you, and now we got this stuff. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't understand. No, the part that that you guys will be on will be in a couple of weeks when we shoot the Nerdist pilot. And pretty soon I'll have an email that if you want to come to the Nerdist pilot taping, that will be a good time. Mm. It will be had by all.
So anyway, yeah, I need a passport.
Yes.
We'll get you one.
I have to figure that out. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, it's not really figuring out. You just have to do it.
Well, listen.
I'm doing stand-up out there, too.
I went part-time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're doing stand-up in Montreal.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, just memorize the following phrase. Désolé, je suis un Américain stupide. Désolé. Repeat after me. Désolé.
Désolé.
Ooh la la.
Je suis
un American
stupid, which means I am sorry, I am a dumb American.
I ain't apologizing for being American.
Shit, yeah, you are.
Wait, what?
Ooh la la.
And I'm proud.
Ooh, guys, it's crazy in Montreal. Starbucks is called Cafe du Starbucks. It's crazy.
Is that real?
Yes, it's real.
Look forward to it, though.
It's fun to go to a place where bilingual means French. Because we're so used to Spanish in Los Angeles. So it's fun to go to a place where you say Francais.
My 3 years of French will finally pay off.
Do you speak?
A little bit.
Parlez-vous français?
How do you say passport in French?
I fucked up. That's how you say
I'm
it.
I fucked up, man.
I fucked up.
I fucked up, Chris. Oh, Chris, I fucked up. Fuck.
I fucked up, man.
Chris, you gotta fucking help me. I fucked up.
Oh, my God. I can't. I'm in customs. I can't get out.
Yeah.
Dude, I gotta have to take you guys to the cat. There's this restaurant that Food Ninja Aziz Ansari. Any city you go to, that guy's got a fucking great restaurant.
Yeah, man, it's on the bottom. It's about beneath an AM/PM. It's real good.
And it always is.
Yeah,
there was a sandwich place there that was like the best fucking sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, he's into
that
it.
Place. Mm. You gotta get Aziz on the show.
Left to go when it's a Sunday.
He's back in New York now. He moved back to New York.
Yeah.
Felt he wasn't inspired enough living in LA.
Interesting.
I can see that.
Because he was used to, I mean, he started stand up in New York, just walking around the city, being like, seeing all kinds of crazy things.
I mean, there's no question that there is so much more stand up culture in New York.
Kroll but said just, that too. He misses, like, he's like,
seeing, like, I mean, people. Apparently, like, I mean, also because Kroll, like, obviously does characters based off of people. And Aziz, if you remember, a lot of his earlier stuff was all based off of, like, things happening to him on the street.
Yeah.
You're overhearing people saying things.
LA is a very isolating type of existence.
Yeah. Like when you're walking down a sidewalk in LA and then the concrete along the side of the road, where you walk. So it's a sidewalk.
I wasn't sure. I always thought, wait, so this big square piece of I thought that's just where they were going to build more things.
No. That's for people to walk and asshole bike riders to think that they can ride on it.
Yeah, you shouldn't ride your bike on the sidewalk.
I hate it. I hate it so much. It fucking drives me up the wall. I would love to be able to ride on the sidewalk. And the safety of just not getting run over by a car with the fear of a door opening up in your face. God.
It's like you've never been alive.
Yeah. But I just, if you fucking ride your bike on the sidewalk, I have one thing to say to you. Sidewalk.
Right? That's what it's in the words.
It's not called the side ride, guys.
Exactly.
It's not called the side pedal.
Or to quote Dave Foley, the thing he did about the clotheslining the guy riding his bike on the sidewalk.
I don't know.
You remember it was this Kids in the Hall bit where he's just like saying, "Dear guy, I clotheslined riding his bike down the sidewalk. I am sorry."
We got to get Dave on too.
That's true. We have a lot of, we got to get these people on.
And a lot of these people have already agreed to come on. It's just scheduling. It's just scheduling and trying to, pin people down. And then what happens is,
it's never going
to
get better.
We bank so many episodes that, that's why people complain sometimes, like, "You recorded this like 2 months ago." It's like, yeah, well, we can only release so many a week. And
you guys are talking about the royal wedding.
I know. Yeah. Like, yeah, because there are other timely ones that had to go up first because they were time sensitive. Yeah, and then it's just how it works. We're doing our best.
And break glass in case of emergency. Like, we all have three separate lives. Wow. One more increasingly busy than the other.
Yes, guys, I'm very busy.
Well, hopefully with the merger of Nerdist and Geek Chic.
And Apple?
It won't really mean anything. Not Apple. It won't really mean anything. I mean, like, no, I don't think anyone's really going to notice a change other than just that there will be more creative output.
Yeah.
Nothing much is going to, the Nerdist experience is not going to change. It's still mine, and I'm still doing all the creative stuff.
Are we going to have our own player? Remember we talked about that a couple years ago? Nerdist player, video player?
Oh, you mean like I thought you meant like a guy on a piano.
Just a guy. When you go to the site, it's a live feed of a guy playing, video game music on a piano.
Yep. Brent Weinbach, probably.
Yeah.
We'll probably get Brent Weinbach. No. So it's exciting that nerds and geeks are uniting.
What about the website redesign that's supposed to happen in March?
I will punch you in the throat so hard. That shit's not my fault. That all falls down to coding and
Matthew
people.
Burnside.
Burnside.
It has nothing to do with poor Burnside.
Yeah, poor.
I can't make people. I can't make the site design happen any faster. I bug the people to do it, and they are doing it as they feel it's necessary.
It's a call to arms.
It's
So what do you need it redesigned for?
I would just like one.
So you can post once a year again?
So I can see a
Yeah, seriously, section. Matt, you never fucking post on the site. I asked you to post
it's
on the
I
site.
I feel like it's not for me anymore. I feel like it's there's enough, there's stuff happening. And
that
I'm
is
just
the
like,
dumbest excuse. I've. That is the worst than your passport excuse.
Yeah. Really? My passport excuse was really bad.
How is it how is it not for you anymore?
Well, I just feel like it's you know, people have, that let I don't know, they can do that. That's fine.
I asked you to blog NASA stuff and space stuff, and you were like, okay.
And there's been a lot of stuff that's come up that's worthy of being blogged about.
Yeah, since we're at the end of the shuttle program, what could you possibly be writing about?
Exactly.
I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy.
Right.
You are making excuses.
I'm busier than you think.
There's a book that Matt Dwyer recommended to me.
Was it a book about a carpenter who?
It's called The War of Art.
Was it a book about a carpenter who taught the world how to love?
Yeah, but there was a long time to get to that point. Really thick book, real boring fantasy stuff. I'm not really into fantasy
God's
stuff.
God's Black Book does not have ladies' phone numbers in it, although it could because he's God.
But Matt Dwyer recommended a book to me called The War of Art. And it is this guy who's a screenwriter, and he just talks about it's a bunch of bites of information about the things that get in the way when you try to be creative, and he calls it resistance with capital R. It's like a thing, resistance, and it's a book that helps you identify what it is in its different forms.
I thought resistance was futile.
You eventually realize that. Okay. That's the fucking end. So spoiler alert.
Oh.
But I think it's a book you should check out. War of Art. And it's just about
not the Art of War.
Not the Art of
which
War.
Which is a much different book.
Much different.
Well, here's what I figured out.
Gordon
I have to
Gecko.
Keep my enemies closer.
Yeah. It's a
always attack downhill.
For anyone that has troubles with writer's block and stuff like that. So
that's great.
It's not writer's block.
What is
whatever.
It? Whatever. No, there's like that's the thing. Myself. It's like you always think it's something else.
I do think it's something else.
Yeah, and it's not. It's just resistance. That's what he says. It's like
something I tell, something that I recommend that people do. That's in the Nerdist way. A little bit of a spoiler alert is track your time for a day. Like, get a digital stopwatch. Track every different activity that you engage in.
I don't want to do that.
Track it down and mark it because that's when you start measuring data. That's when you can start to control the data. I never realized, like, I mean, even as busy as I am, I still see chunks where I waste time. Like, I just wasted 45 minutes fucking around.
I used to waste time, but now it's fucking, oh, I got to fucking walk so I don't cry because my back hurts so much. And it's just like hours of that. And it's just, that drives me insane.
You can get a little piece of pad.
Ugh. Pad, I try.
Just a little piece of pad.
Fucking little piece of pad doesn't work sometimes.
I wanted to say piece of pizza because that's what I want.
A pizza.
But yeah, I want to sit down. I'm like fucking four episodes behind on Doctor Who. Like, I can't sit down to watch television comfortably. And I just, you know.
You should get a real cheap, what are they called?
MyView glasses. Plug it into my
iPod.
Like an elliptical, or something like that. Heroin.
Heroin, that's
an elliptical. Well, I was thinking about a treadmill.
You need some elliptical heroin.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about a treadmill.
You need an elliptical machine that pumps heroin into your body the faster you go.
The handles just poke syringes into your fucking face and pump you up with heroin.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what a lot of my time is just, it's crazy. I have a, you know.
We need to get you one of those old Discs of Tron game cabinets that you can stand up in and we'll just put your TV in there.
I feel unproductive while at the same time feeling productive. Because like when I go for a walk, it feels slightly productive to me, but I've done nothing. I've wasted an hour walking.
Well, record. Like, get voice record, you know, put your headphones on with a little microphone and just record things that you will write down later.
Yeah. I do that sometimes.
Good for you.
Whatever.
Good for you.
Anyway, if you're having trouble writing.
War of Art.
War of Art. It's good. It's real. You can download it on the iPad and. It's like quick bits. You can just kind of go through it real fast.
Matthew, what do you think about iCloud service coming up?
Will that be out by the time this comes out? Yeah.
It's coming out next. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're announcing it this next. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Now, what do you think? What do you think was the impetus behind getting the jump on? Like, why do you think they gave the spoiler?
Well, I think they sort of tried to take it out of everybody else's hands because the spoiler is always coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's always coming from somebody, either Gizmodo or Mac Rumors or something like that.
Right.
So they were like, this time, you know, fuck it. Here, this is what we're doing. Now we'll tell you what we're going to do with it.
I do like the idea that I'm kind of excited that in iOS 5 that we will get automatic over-the-air updates.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to jack my phone and my computer like Caveman did. What a waste.
Yeah, I don't know. I try not to fucking pay attention to it. I really don't. I try to not know anything about it and then just go to work and then I have to learn about it.
Well, that's not related to your work in any way that I'm aware of.
You know, when new strains of apples come out, like the Granny Smith,
the gala is really the way to go. It's so sweet.
Go and just be like, oh.
They don't get as red as the Red Delicious apples, but you know what? They have a much nicer texture.
My Granny Smith, actually. I like Granny Smith the most.
I like to take a single bite out of an apple and then just put it on the back of my laptop. That's what I like to do. I think iCloud service will be interesting, and I think this deal that they made with all the music companies will give them a leg up on other music cloud sharing services.
Like RDO?
No. I mean, like having your music collected. What I don't understand, though, is the mechanism of, because they made these deals with all the music companies so that you won't actually have to upload your music like some other sites that will just physically store your music on its server. That everything that you're basically just getting, it's basically just streaming music that they already have. So there's no like upload.
Right.
So what I don't understand is, like, you know, what's going to happen with my old, like, Frogs bootlegs, you know, like bands that I can't get on iTunes.
I think they can get that over just by virtue of, like, I mean, do you have a, do you have a VLC for your iPad? Like, do you have a VLC for your iPad where you can talk to your computer?
Yes.
And do you have, I forget which one it is. I downloaded one.
Remote is the app that you can stream stuff from your home computer onto your iPhone.
Well, they're like remote desktop controlling.
Yeah, like I can see my computer and if I play something in iTunes, it plays.
I have one called Log Me In.
Yeah, there's one called, I wish I remember the name of it. I got it over the weekend. It was on sale for 99 cents and it's fantastic. And it's got a sound driver you load onto the computer and I can pull up my iTunes and hit play and hear it.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's like remote.
From here,
yeah, not in your house.
No,
that's remote. I could do that.
Not with Apple's remote. Apple's remote, you have to be in the network, in the same network.
No. I'm thinking of a different app, but a couple years ago I had an app that I could stream my iTunes from my phone. This is something
I remember that. I remember that weird app. I don't know what that was called, but yeah, but what's cool about that is I can, with that driver, when I'm on a good network connection, I can watch videos, play games, and all of it's live. I see it all live and the sound is live and everything like that.
And this is going to take away the Slingbox then.
Yeah, well, kind of. Like Slingbox, though, that has its, you know, you're getting television in, which you're not.
Yeah.
You're able to control your television. Like, anyway. Go and control your DirecTV and be like, I want to record Web Soup DirecTV. And DirecTV is like, I don't know what that is.
My friend Ben, Ben Getting.
Liar! I don't know. I just felt like saying it.
He like wanted to set up a whole Slingbox thing. So he set it up, connected to a TV and a cable box in his mom's house, just that she had in a side room. So he's like, don't ever touch that TV. And so he was able to just, like, you know, still watch TV live on his own TV, but always just utilize his mom's TV.
You just made me think of something that would make a good Neil Hamburger joke.
This box was calling me a jive turkey. I accidentally hooked up my slang box.
Cranberry sauce.
Because she was a dirty little whore.
Can I tell my favorite Neil Hamburger joke?
Gonna stick his dick in a competitor.
Yes! My favorite Neil Hamburger joke.
Why did Robert Redford stick his cock in a jar of Paul Newman spaghetti sauce? They've been friends for years. Why would he stick his cock in a competitor's brand?
This is my favorite. Why did Michael Jackson dangle his baby off the balcony? What was his punishment for not finishing his play to come?
Plate of cum.
There's your explicit.
Neil Hamburger. Earn that tag, Jonah.
Yay! If we had sound effects, that's where it would go off. Ding, 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 ding. Explicit tag. Explicit tag.
Hey, cock and suck and
welcome
fucking
to duck. Explicit fucking tag.
Oh.
That is delightful.
I love Neil Airburger.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This has been a fun episode, nerds. A very fun episode.
And we learned a lot today. Going to Disneyland. There's a little merch for Nerdist and Geek Chick and the sassy designs on the way. This is where you hear sound bites as Chris is singing this.
In slow motion.
Yeah.
And I gotta get a passport. These are all things we've learned today.
And Matt's gotta leave the country in a month, so we better get on that shit. Don't let him. Pretty soon we're going to Montreal. Gonna look at some perky French tits.
Mm. They really are perkier up there.
I gotta make sure. Gotta have enough Vicodin for
the plane. At the clouds.
They pointed the clouds.
Yeah, your tits. They pointed the clouds.
It's an Italian guy, wasn't it?
Also, you know, I gave her, how you say, the steamer of a Cleveland?
Yes.
You're Cleveland, right? Also, just to let everybody know, we recorded this on Sunday, so that's why none of us fucking mentioned E3. I know it's going to upset a lot of people.
I know, exactly. E3 has not technically happened yet.
Yeah.
I will be there the whole time. One of my bloggers, Kiala, is going to be covering E3 for Nerdist. Ooh. So we'll have some, you know, we have already at this point had E3 coverage.
Yeah.
And it was great, you guys.
Oh, so many those video games.
Making it happen.
Yeah, you know.
The one where the guy shoots at the guy with the thing and then you got the little controller and then you can network it and it's good. It's really good. And then that
Battletoads.
Couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. And Sarny and Magnet Box.
Who would have thought Mrs. Frogger after all this time?
What did you guys think of that 3D thing?
Hated it.
Yeah, it's just not really.
Gave it 3 snaps.
But then that the hat wand computer system that it's a game where you wave a wand and your avatar just different hats appear on it. That's really all.
It's really weak.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting me that Xbox, Chris. Just go talk to somebody at Microsoft. I'm sure they'll.
Hi.
Hi. I know we talk about a Mac all the time on the show, but if
we I know I just stayed in Bellevue, Washington, which is Microsoft's. Like, you can major in Microsoft at college there.
Yeah.
Redmond, Washington.
Excuse me. I'm here for an Xbox. I'm Keith Microsoft.
That's where Steve Weeb's from.
Steve Weeb.
Yeah, Steve Weeb lives up there.
Steve Weeb.
Steve Weeb. Steve Weeb. Such a fucking
couple of weebs.
Awesome part of the show, of the movie.
Couple of weebs.
Couple of weebs.
I love that movie so much. Yeah, so many great things about that movie are my favorite things.
Great. Hot sauce is good, too.
My favorite, I think.
Did you get some of Billy Mitchell's hot sauce?
Yeah, yeah.
I've looked for it. Have you had it?
Yeah.
I've looked for it. I couldn't find it.
Like,
even at the hot sauce place at the farmer's market.
See, if I had $1 billion, I would make a hot sauce for Steve Weeby.
The Weebies?
Yep. And compete with it.
Well, if
it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievably
hot.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I mean, guys.
It's unbelievably. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
That would be fucking
Chris,
incredible.
You could make all the hot sauce you want, but you'll never be the most well-rounded person in the hot sauce industry.
No, that's no. True.
That's Billy Mitchell.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about that movie, one of my favorite things, is Brian Koo's shirt.
Yeah, you can still see the creases because he just bought it from JCPenney's. So you can still see the creases from the folds that he bought it. He didn't iron it or wash it.
He just put it on.
Yeah. That's the guy. Like Michael Leffler, one of the producers over here at X-Play, he made the fake trailer, King of Kong 2, Judgment Day. It's a Terminator 2 King of Kong thing. And like he said he was making it. I said, if you have a Brian Koo character, I want to play that guy. And so I'm in it. Like, these two guys are in a crazy argument, and I just pop in going, Donkey Kong Killscreen coming up. Donkey Kong Killscreen. If anyone's interested, Donkey Kong Killscreen coming up.
I've played at that arcade many times at Fun Spot in New Hampshire. It's up at
Lake Winnipesaugee, Bob was based in.
Yeah, but that fucking place is awesome. And if you go there, you'll see some of those guys. They're there all the time.
Yeah. Getting the ladybug.
Oh, we got a ladybug cabaret in the cabin?
Jesus. Yeah, there are nerds, and then there are nerds.
Yeah, that is a whole other level.
With a capital N.
Yeah. The best part that they should have left in the movie, but I can see why they took it out because there wasn't time, was that the videotape that he sent with Doris, was when they put it in, it was actually wrestling.
Oh.
He sent the wrong tape up with her.
Oh, that's right.
And then they had to overnight the tape of his Donkey Kong score.
That's right. That's right.
Well, just I don't know so why perfect they, that they, it was wrestling.
Yeah, like he was.
That is, of course, that's what he'd be watching.
Taping.
Taping. Cassette to watch taping. Later. Cassette taping.
This has been a fun episode.
This is the second time Chris is trying to wrap up the Nerdist podcast.
Well, what else can we talk about, Jonah?
No, I don't. Well, what number is this? What are we up to? Are we almost at 100?
We're close.
Yeah,
96.
This will be 96.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep, 96.
Yeah.
96. We're four away from a hundy.
What are we going to do?
Do we have those banked?
Do we what?
Do we have those banked?
What are you going
to do? Do we have four more banked?
Yeah.
So we've done.
Technically, we've already done 100
episodes.
Like,
yeah, I know.
But the one that's going out is not the just a little behind the curtain action for people listening. No, it's fine. No, I don't mind at all. It's I just because of E3 and traveling and the Nerdist pilot and WebSoup, like I just haven't had the time
to even think
because I need to track my time.
Yeah,
Matthew.
All right, Chris. I'll do it this week.
And so I don't know what we're gonna do for the if there's gonna be a 100th episode.
Yeah.
Be fun if we got all trapped in the studio and it was a flashback episode.
Remember the time we bullshitted for an hour.
Remember that one time where Jonah said that thing to Matt and then that person was on? That was really fun.
It was really fun.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
100 episodes of this. 100 hours plus of us just talking.
Well, it's over 100 hours because most of these episodes are over an hour.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. If you could cull through those, find the funniest things I've said and send them to me in an email. That'd be great.
Don't crowdsource. That's the parents of our generation now. Son, no crowdsourcing.
But it's easier.
No crowdsourcing.
I half jokingly said on Twitter this morning that I wanted to start a Kickstarter to get a Dunkin' Donuts franchise in LA. And a lot of people were like, I'd give you money.
Huffington Post just did an article on the best donuts in LA. Some look pretty awesome.
Yeah, go.
What was the number one best donut?
Probably Mr. Donut, right? It has to be Mr. Donut.
I think so.
Those are fucking awesome. Have you seen those, Chris? They have real fruit filling, and they're like a donut sliced in half with just a bunch of like strawberries in it and stuff.
That was on there.
Mr. Donut.
Mr. Donut.
Mr. Spacko.
Mr. Spacko.
Way to go, Fishbulb.
My friend Donald would always say that. Nice job, Fishbulb.
Hello, right. Guys.
Yeah. You on the open mic tonight?
I can't go to the open mic tonight. I have to get up too early for E3 this week. It's doing too crazy.
Yeah,
Jonah's going.
You're going to the Matt Myers day off?
Well, when you said E3, just all the rush, a rush of all the things I have to do tomorrow and Tuesday. So much stuff.
Whatever.
So much stuff.
I have to do nothing. I have to work. For 9 hours every day.
What do you mean you have to do nothing? You just got done saying how fucking busy you are, which is why you can't get a passport or write anything on my website. Now you just say you're doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand.
That's what I said. I mean, I don't understand why you don't understand that.
Oh, Matthew.
Those are the words I said.
These are the words that are coming out of my mouth right now.
They were just something I said.
You can't expect me to be consistent in any way. I'm a comic foil on this comedy triad.
That is on you, Hardwick.
Now, let me do this rope trick, and then we can all go home. Enjoy your burrito!
Wow.
Ha!
Is that Fat Axl Rose?
Yeah. Fatsel Rose?
Fatsel Rose.
Just say Axl now. That's him now.
Is he? Did he gain a bunch of weight?
Yeah.
He looks like Chris Farley doing an Axl Rose character.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
But when is the last time you saw him? Because really, I'm just thinking of the video at Music Awards that Jimmy Fallon hosted. That's all I'm thinking of.
Which was like 8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
He's gotten even fatter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gotten even fatter. No, there's a new picture of him that just surfaced, and he's fucking huge, and it's hilarious. It looks like Chris Farley doing Axl Rose.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
No, really?
He moves like Farley.
Yeah, they're not even playing rock and roll anymore. They're just playing Rocky Road.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hashtag wow.
Yeah, exactly. Doing some old classics. They're covering that 70s rock band Praise and Cream.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Wow.
Welcome to the jungle. We got pies and cakes.
They're playing that whole album, Israeli Beers.
Yep.
Israeli Beers is the cream album.
Oh, yes.
Chinese food democracy.
There it is. There it is. There it is. That was what I was about to drop in.
That sound you heard was that coffin being nailed.
They're playing the entire Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, well, that
yeah, I guess
makes
that works.
Sense, yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. You don't have to use your illusion for that one.
Oh! Oh! Jonah Ray, everybody. Jonah Ray.
You have a cold November brain.
Oh! And the show shat itself.
Oh! Somebody. Really? We have to go. I have to change the show.
Yeah. Only 100.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe it. All right.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.